Well, amen. Week's gone by fast, hasn't it? Some of you thinking to yourself, not fast enough.
But it has been a good week. I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak, and I've enjoyed it. I never take it lightly. I never take it for granted. Anytime a preacher will allow me to stand in his pulpit and preach to his people, and I'm honored to be here. I consider Brother Lance and his family good friends, amen, and I'm thrilled to see what the Lord's doing with the church here, and you folks just stay faithful, amen, keep serving God, keep your families in church, you won't regret it. I got a lot of friends that got their families out of church, and they regret it. I could name you probably five couples on my hand, and my wife knows who they are, that we grew up with, we were very close to, and for whatever reason, over the years, they slipped out of church. Now their kids are who knows where. And all five of those families, husbands and wives, are divorced. Is that a direct result of leaving the church? Maybe, maybe not. But I tell you what, it sure is amazing how close those families were when they were faithful in the house of God. Amen. So keep your families in church. Keep serving God. And preacher, I appreciate you letting me come through and put me up at a real nice motel this week. And they fed me good. Miss Pat's fattened me up a little bit. Amen. And I appreciate that. A lot of people have asked me about my health, how my health has been doing. And I have something called Crohn's disease. I've had it for the past 7 or 8 years. And I've just had a lot of trouble with it off and on throughout that time. And finally, back in December, I got to the place where we decided to have some surgery done. And I have spent probably almost as much time in the hospital this year as I have doing anything else. And that's just turned into my second home, and it was just one of those years for me. But after I had that surgery in December, it has really helped me big time. For the past 7 years, I haven't been able to get over 150 pounds. I went to the doctor the other day, and I'm almost 200 pounds. Amen. My doctor, he says, okay, time to start slowing down now. Amen. But think about it is, you don't know what normal is supposed to feel like. After you're sick for so long, you don't know what normal is anymore. You think you feel good, and you think you're getting better, but it's not until you are better that you realize, wow, how good food tastes. And how wonderful life is, amen, without having to live in pain every day of your life. And so God has really blessed me with my health. I appreciate those of you that pray for me. I really do appreciate that. And keep praying for us, amen. And it is good to have my wife with me tonight. Wave at us there, babe, my wife Joy. And then we got our three little ones here, Edith, Eric, and Allie. And hopefully they don't tear nothing up, burn anything down. Edith's waving at me back there behind the glass, amen. You be good back there, Edith. She got an evil little grin on her face. Amen. But anyway, I hope I can be a blessing to you tonight. I want us to get our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. And let's stand in honor of God's word tonight. I've thought and prayed about what direction the Lord would take me for this particular message in this evening, and I think this message will really be a blessing to people. If there's one thing I have found out is that everybody is going through something. Amen. And everybody's got burdens. Everybody's got struggles that they're going through in their life. And it may be things that people know about. It may be something that nobody knows about. Maybe something that's just going on in your life that maybe is an unspoken, as we say, whenever we have prayer requests. People don't realize sometimes what somebody else is going through, but God does. But the problem is sometimes we get all kind of burdens and trials and troubles, and we don't know what to do with them, and we don't know where to take them, and we don't know how to handle them. Look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus has given us an invitation here. He says, hey, you got burdens? He says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. And what will he give us? He'll give us rest. Amen. You ever had a time in your life where you're so worried, you're so frustrated, that it just doesn't seem like you can get any peace, can't get any rest for your soul? It's just one thing after another. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but problems never come just one at a time. Amen. You never just have a blowout on a normal day. No, you have a blowout when you're in a hurry to be somewhere and it's raining outside. Amen. And everything just goes wrong at the same time. Amen. You get ready and you iron your clothes and you burn a hole in them. Amen. And just on and on and on it goes. Amen. Then you get an unexpected bill in the mail. Amen. And just all kind of things happen, but it seemed like they always happen at once. Like the statement says, when it rains, it pours. Amen. And I think we could all agree that that's the way life usually goes sometimes. But I found out that trials usually come in seasons. Amen. A season of trials. Not only they come in seasons, but they come for reasons. Amen. And Jesus said, if we'll bring our burdens to Him, that He'll give us rest. Doesn't always say that He'll take the burdens away, but He'll rest us in our burdens. Amen. And He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want to preach tonight on this thought, how to handle what's handling you. How to handle what's handling you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless the message tonight. Lord, help me as I preach. Lord, use it, Lord, to be a blessing to some people. Lord, we live in some troubled times. Lord, I know, Lord, in this church, as there is in almost every church I go, there are people that are struggling financially because of an economy, Lord, where it's hard to find work. Lord, I know there are people in here tonight, Lord, could very possibly be having family trouble. There are people tonight, Lord, that could be struggling with some addictions or some other problems, Lord, or maybe with their health or on and on, Lord, the list of problems that we have, Lord, that we bring to the altar. But, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to find some strength, Lord, from the Word of God this evening. Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing to these that have come tonight. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to end this revival meeting, Lord, the right way. And, Lord, just give our burdens to you. Bless, I pray, the message tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I read about a story of a lady years ago back in the Stagecoach days, and this was somewhere in western Montana. And as they were traveling along on this stagecoach, there was a driver and there was a lady, and she was holding her small child. And the winter was so bitter and it was so cold that the driver of that stagecoach noticed that that mother began to get very lethargic. And she began to start showing signs of hypothermia, and he was very worried that the mother might die from exposure to the weather, and he didn't know what to do, and he didn't know how to help her. He had tried and tried and tried everything in his power to help the lady, but she just was having a hard time hanging in there. And so finally what he did, as she was kind of going in and out of consciousness a little bit, he finally took that baby out of her arms, stopped the stagecoach, wrapped that baby up good and tight, slid that baby underneath the seat of the stagecoach, got out, grabbed that mother by the arm, pulled her out of the stagecoach, put her on the ground, and then he took off like he was going to leave the mother and steal her child. When that mother realized what was going on, she jumped up, and she began to chase after him, and she began to scream in a panic, "Stop, stop, stop, that's my baby!" And he let that woman chase her for a while, and finally he pulled back the reins on that horse and let that woman climb back in. And what she discovered was, is he wasn't trying to steal her baby. He was just trying to get her blood flowing again. He was trying to get her heated up again. And whenever she got back in that stagecoach, she may have been very angry that he tried to do something like that. But whenever she found out he was just trying to save her life, she was thankful. Now listen, friends, sometimes we get in a situation in our life where we think God is abandoning us and we think God is doing horrible things right now in our life. But later on down the road, we find out that what God was really doing was some things that were for our benefit and some things that were for our very best. Amen. God knows what He's doing. Sometimes God's like that stagecoach driver, but He's teaching us how to grow and teaching us more about Him. Now, friend, we all know that trials and troubles are just part and parcel of the human life. Job said in Job 14 and verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. How true that is. It doesn't take a child very long to learn that life is painful. It doesn't take a person to live very long before they realize life is hard. Amen. And it doesn't take a teenager long to realize there are some very hard things in life. And adults in here today, you could agree and say, hey, life isn't as fun as I thought it was going to be when I was a little kid. Life is hard. Sometimes it's not fun to be a grown-up, is it? Sometimes I wish I could just go back to the sandbox with my Tonka trucks, amen, and just play in the dirt all day, or just spend the whole day in the creek looking for crawdads and frogs and lizards and tadpoles, amen. We wish we could just go back and forget about it, amen. Let mom and dad pay the bills again, amen, and just go back home and just play until dark. But life gets hard. Life gets hard. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Friend, listen, Jesus says as long as we live in this life, we're going to have tribulation in this world. He says, but don't worry about it. He says, because you can have peace, because I have overcome the world. Now listen, friend, burdens, troubles, trials, difficulty, pain, they are all going to come our way. That's a given. We know that. Does anybody tonight have any doubt that problems are going to come? No. We know that bad things are going to happen. Car tires are going to blow up. Amen. Things are going to break down. Things are going to go wrong. Plans are going to get interrupted. Amen. Sometimes it's going to rain on people's wedding day. Bad things happen. Plans don't always work out the way we want them to work out. Life's going to happen. But listen, friend, that is a given. But what is not a given is what you and I do about the trials and the troubles when they come our way. I found out that people react to problems differently. There are some people that whenever trials come their way, they get bitter, they give up on God. Whenever trials come, they try to run away. But listen, friend, the Bible tells us that there are things that we can do whenever we get in a burden, whenever we get in a hard time. There are some things that we can do about it, and Jesus gives us some great comforting scriptures that we can do to handle our problems. And he teaches us what we can do and how we can handle what is handling us. Number one tonight, let me say this. You got a pen and paper, you can keep some notes tonight and just kind of stuff this away. You may not be going through any burdens right now, but you may be in the next couple weeks. Amen? So remember some of these things. Number one, how to handle it. Take your burdens to the right place. Take your burdens to the right place. There's a man that comes and helps us at our campgrounds. He's only been saved a couple years. And God has just really fired him up, put a burden on his heart about helping us at our camp. He's a building contractor and builds a lot of metal buildings and structures. He came and helped us build a new boys' shower house. And we've been trying to raise money for a recreation room at our camp for ping pong tables and stuff like that. And so he went back home. He got a burden for it. And he went and he had all the timber on his land cut down, took it to the sawmill, had the trusses and everything made, built it all himself. And he has, from the lumber on his land, has provided all the lumber we're going to need to build this building. Now that's a burden, amen. That's going home and getting fired up about doing something. Brother, listen, that's a blessing when people are that way. But he told me this. He said, Brother Randy, he said, I've been saved just a short time. His family's just now getting in church and they're just now learning about the things of God. But I'm telling you, he is so sincere about serving God. And he said, Brother Randy, he said, this is the thing. He says, before I was saved, when I had problems, I didn't know where to take them. So every week, I would take my problems to the bar. And I take my problems there and I drink them away. And he says, but now that I got saved, I found out I didn't need the bar anymore because now I've got somewhere to take my problems. Let me ask you something, Ren. Where do you take your problems? You know why people are so addicted to drugs and things like that? Why? Because it is a outlet for them. It is a release for them. It is somewhere for them to forget about what's going on in their life. Friend, you don't need drugs. You don't need antidepressants as much as you think you do. You need somewhere to put your burdens. Brother, I'm amazed at how drugged up we are as a society. And we've got a drug for everything. And brother, listen, whenever a problem comes, we think we got to take it to our psychiatrist. Now listen, friend, I know there are some times where people have severe mental health. But I tell you, there's somebody that can help you. And it's Jesus. Brother, I never met a psychiatrist that didn't need one. Amen? Take your burdens to the right place. Take your burdens to the right place. You take your burdens to the bottle, brother, you'll never find the bottom of that bottle. It's just a pit that you'll fall deeper and deeper and deeper into. Where do you take your burdens? Let me say that fretting won't help you. Fretting won't help you with your burdens. This is where most people take their burdens, Brother Lance. They take them and they fret with them and they worry. And they lay in bed at night and they toss and they turn and they worry. And man, their blood pressure goes up and they give themselves ulcers and everything else. And brother, their health absolutely gets destroyed. Friend, one of the most destructive things in this world on a person's health is worry, is fear. Fretting will not help you get anything done. And by the way, the Bible says worry is a sin. Philippians 4 and verse number 6 says this. It says, be careful for nothing. You know what the word careful means? It means anxious. Brother, you want to read about some psychology, read the book of Philippians. That is a great book on psychology. Be careful, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So what does God say we do when we worry? Instead of worrying and fret about it, let's go and pray about it to God. When's the last time you took your burdens down on your knees and asked God to help you with it? And say, God, I'm putting this in your hands, and God, I'm going to trust you with it. Amen. John 14 and 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Brother, we get worried. We get all worked up. Turn over to the book of Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 38. This is about Martha here. Jesus has come into their home. She's trying to prepare a nice meal for the Lord. And in the midst of this, brother, she gets all worked up and all anxious about a certain situation that was going on between her and her sister. Look, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 10, verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Isn't it amazing that whenever we get stressed out, our first thought is that the Lord doesn't care? Amen. Lord, don't you care about how hard I'm working? Don't you care about all the stuff that's going on in my life? What do the disciples say whenever their ship was going down? They came to the Lord in the ship and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We always get an idea in our mind that the Lord doesn't care or doesn't see what's going on, but he does. He says, carest thou not that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her therefore that she help me. And here she is, man. She's giving the Lord her demands. Amen. Lord, my sister needs to be in here working with me. Send her in here right now. This is more important than her sitting at your feet and listening to you preach. Amen. That's what she was telling him. Amen. The Lord had some news for her. He said this. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. What does the word careful mean? Anxious. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now listen, friend, notice what the Lord did. He told Martha, he says, Martha, you are anxious, you are troubled about many things. But then what did he do in the next verse? He narrowed down her many things to one thing. Did he not? But one thing is needful. You see, friend, what I found out in my life is sometimes when I get overwhelmed and I think I am being troubled by many things, it's usually coming from one thing. You say, what do you mean? Every tree has a root. And from that root grows everything else. And a lot of times what happens in our life is, man, we get all of these sins. Brother, we got all this stuff, brother, just blossoming out everywhere. All these problems coming out of everywhere. And we think, where is this coming from? Hey, you get to the root and you'll take care of all the rest. Take a young person, for instance, got a rebellious spirit. And they're very disobedient towards authority. And they don't want to listen and they're very hard-headed. Where is that spirit coming from? Most of the time it's coming from a root called rotten music. You get the root out, the attitude starts to change. The resistance towards authority starts to change. It goes back to a root. A lot of times in our marriage, the same thing happens. Brother, we get to where all we do is fight. All we want to do is argue. Nobody gets along. There's stress. And man, it all of a sudden starts to affect the kids. What does it usually go back to? A root. Money problems. Or something along those lines. He said, you're anxious about many things. You're troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. He said, listen, Martha. He said, I appreciate you serving, but I didn't come here to be served. I came here today to preach. I came here today to teach. Mary's in the right place. Amen. Brother, we got to take our burdens to the right place. Fretting won't help you. Next, friends won't help you. You say, what do you mean, Brother Randy? Friends are a great comfort in time of trouble. Yeah, they are. They are. But they cannot help you with the things that Jesus can help you with. You know what Job said about his friends? Although they tried, and listen, his friends there in the first part of Job, they tried hard to be close to him. They tried to be a friend to him. They sat down with him for 7 days in sackcloth and ashes and did not say a word. They just looked at him. They just stared at him. And sometimes, listen, as a friend, that's all we can do. Brother, we're so quick to add our advice to everybody, but sometimes it's good just to be there. And finally, man, they couldn't figure out what was going on in Job's life, and so they started accusing him of sin. They said, man, that's the only explanation for this. That's the only explanation of what's going wrong in your life is you must have sin. And brother, all that did was add the very last drop of gall into Job's cup of suffering. You know what he said about his friends? Job 13 and verse 4, he said that he found that they were physicians of no value. Friend, I've got some great friends in my life, but there have been burdens that I've suffered through in my lifetime that, you know what? No amount of friends could have done for my heart what Jesus did for my heart. You see, let me tell you why sometimes going to friends is not such a good idea. Because friends will sometimes lie to you. And friends will sometimes tell you what you want to hear. Okay? A very close friend is most of the time not going to want to tell you something that they think is going to hurt your feelings. And so what will they do? They will help you wallow in your self-pity. And they will agree with you about your side of the story. And if there's a problem, I've seen it many times where you got a couple and they're having trouble and that lady will go to her friend and she'll tell her friend about it. What will that friend do? Oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. That husband of yours, yeah, he's just a sorry rotten dog. What is that friend doing? It's helping them wallow in self-pity. You know what a real friend does? And I mentioned this the other night to the teenagers. A real friend is somebody that will tell you the truth. Even when it hurts. Even whenever it rips your heart out. A real friend is a man of God that will sit down with you and say, hey, listen, I'll tell you what your problem is. You may not want to hear it, but this is the truth. That's a friend. A friend is not somebody who will lie to you. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Friends can help sympathize with us, but they cannot really help us with the real burdens of life. So fretting won't help. Friends won't help. And let me say number next, that fleeing won't help either. I know a lot of people that they think that they can run from their problems. And so what do? They change zip codes. Only to find out that their trouble is there waiting for them when they get there. Amen. It's always going to follow you. There's a lady, her name was Patricia Christie. She fled Florida when Hurricane Andrew was coming through back in 1992. She tried to get away from it. She didn't want to be caught up in the storm. So what did she do? She got on a plane and she flew to Hawaii just in time to face Typhoon Nikki. Amen. Listen, friend, changing your zip code isn't going to help you all the time to get rid of your problems. Problems have a way of following you around. The Bible tells us a story in Amos chapter 5, I believe it is. In verse 19, it talks about a man, the Bible says, that flees from a lion. And whenever he gets away from the lion, that he's met by a bear. And then he escapes the bear, runs all the way into his house, and he thinks, well, what a crazy day. Whew. I outran a lion, I outran a bear. I mean, that's pretty bad luck. And the Bible said he gets in and he puts his hand on the wall to rest. And a serpent comes out of the wall and bites him on his hand. Now, that's a bad day. Amen. That's a bad day. I've had some days like that. Amen. You hear about Murphy's Law. Amen. Anything bad that can't happen will happen. Amen. I think Murphy sometimes lives in my house. Brother, he lives in the guest room. Amen. But listen, friend, changing your zip code isn't going to help you get out of your trials. I've known people, they've ran their whole life. They've ran from state to state to state, job to job to job, spouse to spouse to spouse. And what have they found? The same trouble everywhere they go. Sometimes you just got to turn around and you got to face what's happening. You got to face the music, okay? We spend so much of our life wasting time denying that there's a problem. Amen. We deny there's anything wrong. Me and the preacher, we were laughing today how sometimes people will get, and I've known people that have very high blood pressure. And you ask them, have you checked your blood pressure in a while? No, because I know it's high. Oh, so not checking your blood pressure means you're going to be okay, right? When's the last time you checked your blood sugar? Well, I haven't checked it because I know it's probably going to be high. Okay, so that makes it better just because you're not checking. It means you're all right. Amen. Listen, friend, that's called denial. You know what denial gets you? It gets you dead. That's what it gets you. Brother, listen, sometimes you have to realize, hey, I've got a health problem, and I'm going to have to do what I have to do to get it fixed. Amen? And brother, that goes for a lot of our problems in our life. There are a lot of parents, they let their kids walk down the stairway to hell and wreck and ruin their life. Why? Because they don't want to accept the fact that there's some problems in their home. We got to get our head out of the sand and say, hey, it's time to do something about the direction my kids are headed in. You say, well, I'm scared they won't like me. They may not like you at first, but you're not their buddy. You're their parents. Amen? And sometimes you got to do what's best for your children. And sometimes we go on and on and on, and we live in denial about so many things. There's a couple that I'm thinking of that, brother, if I would have known this several years ago, I would have laughed if you would have told me this. Some really close friends of ours. What happened? They got to a place in their marriage where their whole marriage was all about their children, all about what they could do for their kids. And what happened is they stopped having a relationship themselves. They started growing apart. What were they doing? They were living in denial about what was really going on in their home. Kids moved out of the house. Guess what? One day, the two of them, it dawned on them that, hey, you know what? We don't really have anything in common anymore. I don't know if I really love you anymore. They're divorced. Why? Because they didn't want to face what the reality was in their home. Now, friend, you can keep running. You can keep trying to stick your head in the sand. You can keep trying to hide from what's going on in your life. But nothing is going to change until you turn around and face what is following you. Amen? I'm sorry if you came for a more watered down message. Amen? Fleeing won't help. Friends can't always help. Fretting won't help. Let me say number next, fighting won't help either. What do we do when you get a problem in our life? We try to fight it. We get angry about it. Can I say, friend, that trial that you're so angry about right now, you may be trying to fight what God is calling you to face? You ever thought about that? You ever thought that, hey, maybe this isn't a result of an attack from the devil? You realize that probably most of the bad things that happen in our life probably don't happen from the devil. But a lot of the trials, the Bible says, in our life are God-ordained. They are things that God puts into our life to test us, to purify us, to get us to the next stage in our life. Friend, I've known people that the best thing that ever happened to them was for them to hit rock bottom and go splat. Why? Because it shook them out of that denial they were living in. And all of a sudden the lights came on and they says, man, I need to get back to God. Sometimes it's a good thing when the bottom falls out. It causes us to reset our priorities. Listen, we all have failures. We all have things that we go through. I read where one man said, really, all success is just a man standing on top of a mountain of failures. Because that's what it is sometimes. We fail and we go through trials and we go through problems. But fighting them won't help you. Fighting against what the Lord brings in your life is dangerous. You're not careful, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. It's like, how many of you ever rode on a bicycle that had two seats on it? You ever ride on one of those two-seat bicycles? All right, a few of you have. Those are hard to do. Amen. Why? Because you got to work together. Amen. It's hard to get anything done when one guy is trying to pedal slower than you are. Amen. And it's hard to go left when the other guy wants to go right. It's hard to lean to the right when the other guy wants to lean to the left. Amen. I was watching at camp last week. There were some kids there having a canoe race. And as soon as they started off at the starting line, two kids, man, they weren't synced together. And they thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll just dig real deep on my side of the boat. Well, it just so happened they did it on the same side of the boat and they flipped over. Amen. But sometimes what we do is, man, we are fighting against what God wants to be there. And we're angry about it. We're mad about it. God says, hey, stop fighting it and start learning from it. I wonder how much faster we could get through some of our trials if we just wake up, smell the coffee, and realize that this is what God wants. Maybe some of the trials last a lot longer because we're not getting the picture. Amen? Brother, I wonder what would have happened with Jonah had he just gotten the picture a little bit sooner. But no, he waited till the storm came, waited till somebody's throwing him off of the boat to realize that he needs to wake up and get back to God. Even Job, I wonder how long his trial would have had to last before you get to the very last book of the chapter of the book of Job where he finally says, hey God, I get the picture. I abhor myself. And I'm now going to repent in dust and ashes. Well, I wonder how long we have to suffer before we realize that maybe God's trying to use this in our life. So fretting won't help. Friends won't help. Fleeing won't help. Fighting won't help. But let me say this. The Father will help. The Father will help. Notice His invitation to us in our text verse. He says, come unto me. Brother, that's an invitation. Brother, the Lord's opened up the doors to His throne room. He's inviting all that need Him to come for help. He says in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible said He's our shepherd. Brother, He cares for us like a shepherd would care for his sheep. He says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them with His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Listen, He's our Father. He's always interested in helping us, even through the difficult passageways of life. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, friend, the Lord can help us. Even in the valley, the Lord can lead us beside the still waters. Even in the scary places, He's there. Listen, friend, put your trust back in God again. Stop trying to manipulate everything. Stop trying to scheme. Stop trying to plan. And just say, okay, God, here I am. I'll listen to you. I'll do it your way. Luke chapter 11, verse 2, and He said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which is in heaven. Amen. Listen to that, friend. All throughout the Bible, you see all kinds of different names of Christ. You see Him called so many different things. Friend, there are hundreds of different names that we could call Jesus Christ tonight. But here in that verse that I just read, the disciples called Him something very, very different that nobody had heard Jesus called before. Something very, very different than people were used to hearing. What do they say? Our Father, which art in heaven. Amen. Listen, friend, He is your Father. Brother, He loves you like a father would love a child. And He wants to care for your needs, and He wants to help you with your burdens. So number one, take your burden to the right place. Number two, you ready for this? Transfer your burdens to the right person. Can I say, friend, that there is one that cares about your situation? Is everybody? Nobody cares about what's going on in my life. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to do anything about it. You're wrong. There's one tonight that is very concerned with what's going on in your life. There's one that is very concerned with where you're at. And he said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You say, who's that you talking about? You. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Brother, listen, have you ever got to a place in your life where you wish you could just throw all your troubles on somebody else? That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. My kids sometimes will come to my wife. They'll be driving her bonkers, and they'll ask her a question. They'll say, Mama, can I do this? And what does she say? Go talk to your daddy about that. Amen. You say, Brother Andy, what should I do tonight? Hey, go talk to your daddy about it. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Friend, you realize Jesus has walked through loneliness. He has been in need. He has faced difficulty. He has faced death. He has been hated. He has been loved. He has been accepted and rejected. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're going through, and he cares about our needs. This is what Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I thank God that I don't just serve a God that doesn't know what I'm going through. Listen, I'm talking about a God that knows about pain. I'm talking about a God, the Bible says, that was tempted in all the same areas that you and I are tempted in. He's not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted. Amen. Yet without sin. Don't think for a moment he won't understand. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. There's one who cares about your situation, but let me say also there's one who can actually do something about your situation. You come to me with your problem tonight, I may be able to take you to the Bible and show you some things, but you know what? I can't fix your situation. You say, Brother Randy, I got a health problem. Well, don't look at me. Amen. I'm not a faith healer. If I was a faith healer, I'd have healed myself a long time ago. Amen. I sat on a plane with a woman. I was flying down to San Antonio, Texas. She was on her way to college. She was going to go to Oral Roberts College. Oral Roberts was a famous faith healer. Amen. If you have enough money, he'll heal you. We have a man in our area, used to be our tent technician, would travel and set up our tent, got cancer, and saved up every bit of money that he had and went and stood in line for a long time to see Oral Roberts. Paid all that money. Was healed by Oral Roberts, came back home, died just a few weeks later. My friend, don't put your faith in that kind of stuff, okay? Put your faith in God. Jesus did not come to save you from all your diseases. He came to save you from sin and from hell. Amen. Now, he'll help you. And if it's his will, he'll heal you. I sit on a plane with this lady, and she's telling me how she had this gift of healing. Brother, to fly from Pittsburgh to Dallas, about a 3-hour flight. About 2.5 hours into that flight, she kept doing this, rubbing her knee. I said, what's wrong with your knee? She said, well, I've had bad trouble with this knee. I've had surgery on it for a long time. I said, well, why don't you use your gift of healing on it? Amen. She didn't like that very much. I'm just saying, listen, friend. There's somebody that can actually do something about our problem that we're facing. And his power is beyond anything that we can imagine. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Friend, God is not limited by anything. He's not. He's sovereign. And he can do, the Bible says, not just what we think, but he can do exceeding abundantly above anything that we ask or even think about God can do. Amen. Job 42 and verse 2 says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Friend, if he can place the stars in the heaven, if he can spread out the planets with just moving his finger, then your problems and my problems are no problem for him. Just go through the Bible and read about people that God prepared for and provided for. Go read about Elijah. And see how God took care of Elijah and fed him. Just go read about Daniel. And see how God took care of Daniel. And go read about time and time again where Jesus does the miracles and he feeds the 5,000. And go read about blind Bartimaeus. And go read about Lazarus. And go read about all these people in the Bible. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, if God can do it for them, then he can do it for you. He's God. He's God. He's not like us. He can do whatever he wants to do. All power is given to him. He can do it all. Brother, listen, he can do something about it. So you got to transfer your burdens to the right place. Number three, trust your burdens to the right provisions. Trust your burdens to the right provisions. You know where we're at in America? Everybody right now is hoping and praying that Washington, D.C. will be able to provide for all their needs. Now listen, I know that there's politicians, and they may, most of them are crooked, amen, but there may be some that are sincere as can be about helping people. But listen, friend, the government is not the right provision. God is the right provision. We are at a place in our society where we are so dependent about everything. We're so dependent. And we think the government owes us this and the government owes us that. Listen, friend, nobody owes you anything. Amen. Go ahead and get that mindset. Young people, your parents don't owe you anything. As a matter of fact, you owe them some things. The very day that you were born, you already owed somebody for 9 months room and board. And that's a debt you'll never be able to pay back. Amen. Trust your provisions to the right place. Trust your burdens to the right provisions. Let me give you a couple ways that the Lord helps people with their burdens. You ready for this? You can write these down as well. Let me say, first of all, when it comes to burdens, sometimes God will remove your burden. Now, brother, what a blessing that is when God removes a burden. What a blessing it is when that person that you're praying for, God miraculously heals them. What a burden it is when God suddenly provides for that need, or God suddenly brings that answer into your life, and you stand back and you think, what a God. Thank you, Lord, for removing that burden. God sometimes does that. The Bible tells about a little widow lady at Zarephath. And the Bible says that her and her son were in this famine, and that they were at a place where they were running out of everything. They were down to their last little bit of meal and their last little bit of oil. That was all they had left. They said, we plan on eating this and dying. Preacher comes, knocks on their door. God sends Elijah. And he says, God sent me here for you to make me a meal. And she says, now wait a minute, preacher. All we have is just a little bit of provisions left. Me and my son, we're going to sit down and we're going to eat this meal, and then we're going to starve to death. Sound like it's going to be an exciting dinner. Amen. How much talk about at the dinner table when you know you're going to starve to death. Amen. But he says, listen, you don't understand. God has told me to come here to tell you to fix me something to eat. Now, isn't that just like a Baptist preacher, brother? Brother, eat your last little bit of food. Amen. But she obeyed, and God provided for her. And the Bible says that it was such a miraculous thing that every time she reached in that barrel, there was always enough meal in there. Every time she reached for that oil, there was always enough oil in there. Friend, you know what I have found out in my life? There's been a lot of times where, brother, I have looked at what I have, and sometimes you sit down to pay your bills, and there's a lot more month at the end of your money. Amen? You ever been there? And you think, how are we going to get through this? And brother, we just keep trusting God, and God always finds a way to stretch what we have, and God always finds a way to do what needs to be done. I just wonder, preacher, what would have happened had that woman looked at Elijah and says, no. No, this is our food. You go find your own food. I wonder what would have happened. I'll tell you what would have happened. Her and her son, they had to sit down, they had to eat that last meal, and they would have starved to death. But because she trusted God, God provided for her. Listen, friend, trust your burdens to the right provision. Sometimes God will remove your burden. But let me say, second of all, What will God sometimes do with our burdens? Sometimes He'll remove them, and that's a blessing. But let me say that sometimes God will relieve your burden. What do you mean, Brother Randy? There are times when God will leave the burden on your shoulders, but He'll lighten it a little bit so that we can stand the load, so that we can bear it. What did Paul say? He said, I found that God's grace was sufficient for me. What about Ruth? Did God completely remove all of Ruth's burdens? No. Ruth had all kind of problems. Ruth had been through a lot. And with her friends and with her family, she had been through a lot. But God relieved her burden a little bit by bringing somebody named Boaz into her life. Allowed her to glean in the fields. Allowed her to, and it helped her through that time, helped her through that problems. And God ended up leading her into the perfect will for her life. Friend, sometimes God will give you relief for your burdens. What does He say? He says, take my yoke upon me. Doesn't say that it wouldn't be work. Didn't say that it wouldn't be hard. The Bible says that it's a burden. A burden is something that you have to carry. But the Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So there are going to be burdens sometimes. And God may not want to take that burden away. God may say, hey, you've got to carry that burden. You may get in a car wreck, and you may get injured permanently for the rest of your life. And God may say, hey, your life has changed. This burden's not going to go away, but I'll give you relief for your burden, and I'll help you with it. There may be some times in your life, listen, I've known men. I've got a good friend of mine who had a stroke, and he was a preacher. He's not able to preach like he used to preach. I see him. He lives down in Texas. Every time I go preach at that church, he got a big smile on his face. He cannot do what he used to do. His life's changed forever. But you know what? He still has his life. He still has joy. He still has happiness. He still has peace in his life. Still doing everything he can for God. Why? Because even though he's got a burden, he found some relief for it. Amen. What will God do with our burden? Sometimes He'll relieve them. Sometimes He'll remove them. But then probably the most common thing that God does when we're in a trial is sometimes He will rest you in your burden. This is really the most common and often the best aid that we receive from God. He gives us grace to carry the load that we have been assigned. He said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, if you get a hold of that verse in your life, it'll change your perspective on everything. I've had a lot of people, they say, Brother Andy, have you ever been bitter about having the health trouble that you've had? You ever gotten bitter about it? Now, friend, listen, I can't say that I've never been discouraged, but I don't think there's ever been a time in my life where I've ever been bitter at God and says, God, why have you done this to me? Because you know what I have found out about being sick? You know what I have found out about infirmities in your body? Is that it shows you how weak you are, and it shows you just how fragile you really are, and just how much God, you need God and you need His strength. Many times you can ask my wife whenever the pain gets so severe. Sometimes you cannot lay down flat on your back. Sometimes you can't lay on your stomach. Sometimes you can't find any place comfortable. But you know what I found out? Many times I'd get down beside my bed, and sometimes the only way I could get comfortable was to get on my knees and lay across the bed like this. One night I was doing that, and I said, you know what, Lord? Thank you for giving me a problem that keeps me on my knees. Amen. Sometimes, friend, God gives you rest in your burdens. We ought to focus on God changing us in our situation instead of God just changing our situation. And however He decides to handle your problem, you can be sure that He is always going to do what is right for your life. Amen. Because He's got a plan for your life. He's concerned about you. And He wants to do what is best for you. And He says this, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Friend, you can rest on His promise that He will meet your need. Listen, we talk about having a failing economy. You want to know what God's economy is? Let me tell you what God's economy is. You ready for this? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's economy. Amen. That's not the Bush economy. That's not the Obama economy. That's not the Reagan or the Clinton economy. That is God's economy. And God's economy says that He'll supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And God don't need you worrying about tomorrow. He'll take care of tomorrow. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You don't know what's waiting outside those doors out there. But God does. Brother, you learn to take it one day at a time. You learn to rest on God. God never called us to take all the burdens of tomorrow on us today. He said, you just deal with today and I'll take care of tomorrow. What did He say in the Lord's Prayer? He says, give us this week our daily bread. Give us for the rest of our life bread. No, give us this day. Give us this day. What's God saying? Take it one day at a time. Amen. That clock on the back wall back there, you know what it does? It's got a second hand on it, and it just tick, tick, tick. It just goes one tick at a time. Friend, that's how we live our life. One tick at a time, one day at a time, and we let God handle what we cannot handle. But listen, there are two things in life that people worry about. They worry about things that they can change, and they worry about things they can't change. Now, friend, if you got a problem in your life that you are able to change, then guess what? Stop worrying about it. Go change it. But if you got a problem in your life that you can't change, then put it in God's hands. Okay? Put it in God's hands. And close your Bibles and look this way. I don't have time to go into everything tonight, but I want to give you one last little thought here tonight. There's a name in the Old Testament that we read about the Lord in Genesis, where the Bible says that His name is Jehovah Jireh. You ever hear that before? You know what Jehovah Jireh is? Where we first read about that is where Abraham is walking up the mountain with his son. And God told him to take his son up on top of that mountain. And He says, Moses, when you get on top of that mountain, Abraham, amen. Sometimes I get my characters confused. I'll talk about Moses in the ark and Noah parting the Red Sea. Amen. And Jonah swallowing the whale. But He gets up on top of the mountain and He's got His son with Him. And He lays Him upon that altar. Can you just imagine His son looking at Him and saying, Dad, what are we doing up here? Dad, I see the altar and I see the wood. Well, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? Probably one of the greatest statements in all the Bibles. When He looked at His son, He says, God will provide Himself a lamb. And so He says, okay. He says, son, lay down here upon this altar. And one thing that's a beautiful picture about this story is that you don't see any resistance in His son. He was completely submissive. Completely submissive. That boy lays on that altar. And I'm sure Abraham was thinking to himself, he's going to have to take that and he's going to have to thrust that into his son's heart. He raises up that knife. And the Lord says, stop. Abraham. Abraham. And he stops. And the Lord had a ram waiting for him in the thickets. Now we know that this is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ on Calvary. We know that Abraham was preaching the gospel way back in Genesis chapter 22. But the Bible says that whenever it was said and done, that they built an altar there. They called it Jehovah Jireh. Amen. You know what Jehovah Jireh is talking about? It means Jehovah will see to it. God will do what He said He would do. Can I tell you something tonight, friend, that God's promises are not just a bunch of empty promises? You ever meet people the whole time promising something that they cannot deliver? God always stands by His promises. And maybe right here and right now with your life, you need to stop and say, I know You're still Jehovah Jireh. And I know that You can see to it. And I know that You can take care of my need. I know that You can help me in this very hard time in my life. Friend, what is handling you today? Why don't you bring it to Him? He knows how to handle what is handling you. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Thanks for listening tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this evening, you say, Brother Randy, I needed that message. For many reasons, I needed that message tonight, Brother Randy. There's been some things that have been handling me. Got me worrying, got me doubting, got me fretting. Got me maybe even in denial. Maybe got you running. You say, Brother Randy, I need God to handle what's handling me tonight. That message was for me. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. That's me tonight, Brother Randy. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder this evening, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Listen, friend, I've seen many a time where God has put things into people's life for the simple reason of trying to get them born again. Maybe tonight you just need to stop and ask yourself the question, is God trying to get my attention? God trying to get me saved? God trying to say something to me? Our heads bowed and eyes closed, who'd say, Brother Randy, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. But if Jesus would save me tonight, I'd be willing to trust Him. I don't know that I'm saved, but I sure would like to be. Would you slip your hand right up and right back down? Let me say a word of prayer for you. Don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to be. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, the last night of this revival, be a good thing if God's people just got on their knees before God and just took some time with their Lord. You say, Brother Randy, I can pray just fine right here at my seat. You can. But can I tell you something, friend? I have never made a major decision in my life in a pew. Every major decision that I've made spiritually, I've made at an altar. There's something about humbling ourselves enough to kneel before God that God appreciates. The Bible says that He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You said, Randy, I need God's help tonight. I need God's help tonight. He'll help you, friend. He'll help you. You got to take your burden to the right place, to the right person, and you got to trust those burdens to the right provisions. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd bless these thoughts that they've been preached. Lord, use this invitation, Lord, for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As she begins to play.